You have in your notes detailed handouts that talk about ecology, and this is the list of the various ways that you can directly work with the person to check ecology of an outcome. And, okay, all of you listen up because you're busy looking at and writing. You would never do all of these. Never? You typically would not ever need to do all of these ecology checks on one outcome. I want you to have experienced them all, so we are going to do them all on one outcome so that you understand how you use them. Again, rarely would you ever need to ask them all or have somebody do all of them. Some will work better for certain outcomes than others, and so that's why you have lots and lots of choices in the ways that you do it. So first of all, as a guide for someone else, and you have this list, I'll just tell you, on page 81 in the book. This is the short list. And then before that, you have explanations of each of them. But I put it up just so that we can briefly look at it, so that you understand where we're going with it. You start with helping someone get an outcome. What is it you want? And make sure it's something that's in their control, stated in the positive. Some of those initial things you might ask about an outcome. And then to check ecology of the outcome, you can go right down the list. The easiest one to do is to directly ask the person, can you predict any problems? That's what I put predict up here. Can you predict any problems that might come up with this? And, you know, from past experience or as you think about it, is there anything that you think might go wrong with that? So you just ask directly. Or, as we have been doing in many of our other exercises, we say, does any part of you have any objections to what you are considering? And you notice if a part responds, okay? That's exactly what we were doing with six-step reframing yesterday, right? Okay, so this is simple because you just asked the person, you're implying that consciously they will know that there are ecology issues. And they very well may not know, but it's a good place to start. And all the same time, you are asking yourself as a guide, can I predict any way that this might be a problem? I'm quite certain I told you about the guy that wanted help in working more hours. Yeah, the client I had, he wanted to be able to work 80 hours a week. And he was already working 60 hours a week. And I, myself, am predicting this is going to create some health problems. The objections might come from the family, the wife, the children that he's never around, etc. I can predict that as the guide. I want the person to discover this on their own rather than me saying, no, that's not going to work. I had a coach that did that once. No, you can't do that. I went, oh, yeah? I mean, you know, it popped up the polarity in me. So it's better if you can help the person discover it, and you do that by just directly asking. You can also say to the person, what has stopped you from having this in the past? Or what stops you from doing it right now? And then some of the reasons, well, I don't have enough time, or I always feel so pressured, or I get so stressed. Then you know, okay, this is an ecology issue come up. We have to deal with that, whatever has been stopping them. We can't just assume it will take care of itself. Generalizations. So oftentimes when you say to the person when you're gathering an outcome, what specific context do you want this in? if somebody is what we call a big picture person, and they generalize and they say a lot of always, never, every time, you know that they tend to generalize things. So if they generalize to many circumstances, this always happens. I've never had an experience where this didn't happen. Then you know you're going to have to help them chunk their outcome down very specifically, or they will generalize it across many contexts where it doesn't belong, like being sweet and lovable. And if they're a big chunk person, they haven't thought about, I don't want to do that on the BART train or at work with certain people. That's not appropriate. But if they're a big, a generalizer in general, then that tells you you've got to be very specific about the contexts. Now, we've all had some experience with future pacing because we've done that with many of our exercises where you say, think of a time in the future when you will have the opportunity to do this. And what does it seem like? What does it feel like? What does it look like? What does it sound like? How will it impact other people? Future pacing, you've done that. Now, since you've already learned how to switch perceptual positions, one way you can for ecology is also have them imagine they are someone else dealing with them, meeting them in the hallway at work. How's that going to be for the other person? So you have them do it from their own perspective, have them do it from significant other people. You may have them switch with several other people.
You mean they get into other positions and look at their goal and what would they think?
Right, that's right. What they look at them achieving their outcome, what's it like for the other people around them? Take that guy wanted to work 80 hours a week. Step into your wife. Be in her shoes. You're never there. Be in the kids' shoes at the Christmas concert. Where's Dad? Well, he's busy working, you know, that sort of thing. And then also do that from an observer position, a neutral position. What's it like when you watch yourself interacting with significant other people with this outcome? Now, observe another. If there were someone else that had this outcome that you could imagine, notice what it's like when you think of somebody else getting this outcome. And does it seem like it preserves relationships and is good for everybody involved? So it's kind of like choosing a model and saying, if somebody else were doing this, or we're wanting this outcome, what do you think that would be like for somebody else? Again, these are all just slightly different variations of a way that you can look at the situation. You can have them role play, actually get in the situation that they're going to be in and have them doing the behavior or achieving the outcome so they can notice for themselves how it feels inside. Rather than just thinking about it, they step into it, role play it, and you observe as the guide. Is that appropriate? Do they look congruent doing the behaviors? So you end up see an extra set of eyes and ears for them as you do this. And the last one we have not done yet, the as-if frame, which is really fun. You go to the point in the future where you will have thoroughly and completely achieved this outcome. So say this is a long-term outcome that's going to take 2 years for the person. You have them go out 2 years. So this is a little different than just future pacing, what it'll be like the next time. You go out in the future, say it's 2 years, and you plop them down and have them fully associate into having had the outcome because they've been working so hard on it and now it's 2 years later and here you are. You know, a couple of Christmases have passed. I'll show you how fun this is to do, you know, and Santa Claus has come and gone and your life has dramatically changed because now you have this outcome. And notice what it feels like having worked so hard to get here and now finally having had it. Turn around and look back and at the steps that you took to get where you are right now. And what was it worth all that? So this is a real direct way to fully put the person into the outcome. And it's really fun to use a timeline to do that. And we call it backwards planning for any of you in the business context. So normally we're standing in our present looking at our future going, oh, I need to do this and this and this. That's forward planning, right? This is, oh, I've got it. I did this and this and this. So you're looking back versus looking forward. That's why we call that as if you already have the outcome. You've already achieved it. Question, Kevin?
As an addition to that, because the as if frame is really functional in that, I'll stand up with that. Because when you're looking back to the different steps that you've taken, when we're talking about ecology, often one of those steps, or sometimes when there's not something wrong with the ecology, but you don't really know about what's the objection, looking back on the different steps may just say like, hey, but I don't want to take that step. Something there is in the way because your subconscious has already labeled, then I'll have to do this. And see, looking back on it, hey, I had to do that. Well, maybe you don't have to do that. And you can reframe that. And then the
That's
ecology
fine. It's a really good ecology check. So these are the different, all the different ways that we can check an outcome for ecology. Some, again, are more appropriate than others. I mean, there are some things you go, I wouldn't know how to role play that. It wouldn't work. But if it's a relationship thing, it's really easy to put the person into a role play. We're going to do them all. Yes, Sebastian.
If I ask the person, can you imagine any negative consequences from this? Would that be number one?
That's number one. And that's a part of, you know, creating an outcome in general. But these are some specific things that are totally designed to be checking, is it okay for all parts of this person's system so that it's all parts go? Yes. Yes, that's what I want. Versus, no, I don't know about that. May take too much time and energy for me to do, and I need to figure out how I can work that into my life. Then you get the issues coming up that would stop a person. And I mean, the whole goal of this is that they can pursue their dreams and make them happen and get what they want. Yes, Kara.
Totally along those lines, that as if it's a process that I learned in my law of attraction coaching.
Ah.
And it's if you get in that space of having what you want, and the longer that you're really focused on it, then it's like you're raising your vibration to the exact frequency of what you want, and then you can attract it into your experience.
Well, since your thoughts create your reality, that's why that is so powerful. Yes. And it's a powerful thing to add on the end of every exercise, like a future pace, too.